Welcome to You Are From God, where we open the Bible and learn to see the image of God in ourselves and the people around us. I'm Scott Taylor.
And I'm Tyler Hall. Thanks for joining us today.
We're so glad that you've joined us for another episode. Scott, today we're going to talk about the idea of what is truly precious. And when we talk about something being precious, there's this innate sense of value, or the value that we appreciate in something or someone. And I want to actually use Moses, Scott, to start this conversation. The scriptures are pretty clear that Moses was a good-looking baby. I guess as far as babies go, like, right. I don't think you can like argue with that on the whole, but the scriptures go out of their way to tell us in three separate instances that Moses was beautiful. We have this amazing account in Exodus 2 when he's born. In verse 2, the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. That idea there is that he's beautiful, or that he's very appealing in his appearance to this mother, which causes her to do what she does, hides him for 3 months, puts him in the basket when she can't hide him anymore, and it leads into this one becoming Moses, right? He's raised by the Pharaoh's family and ultimately becomes a deliverer of his people. Hebrews 11 will actually mention Moses's parents as people of faith in Hebrews 11:23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. So again, you've got these two instances where they just kind of double down in the scriptures. Moses was beautiful. It stirred his parents into action. Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, will tell the same story of Moses being born, but he adds an interesting detail here in verse 20, where he says, "At this time Moses was born, and he was beautiful in God's sight, and he was brought up for 3 months in his father's house." So this is an interesting piece, Scott. We've gone from the parents obviously seeing that their child is beautiful, but now we've got Stephen, inspired by the Holy Spirit, saying Moses is beautiful in God's sight. Certainly we can understand that from the life that God has created is precious. Every single life that he creates is beautiful in his sight. But obviously there's a special emphasis here to denote that this is Moses. This is going to be the chosen deliverer of the people. God's fulfilling his promises through this one as he ages up. But it just got me thinking, looking at these verses together, do we see the things that God sees as beautiful? If God says something is beautiful, do we see it that way? A lot of people say beauty is subjective, but God makes it very clear that there are beautiful things, and we have the opportunity, the option, the choice to see those things as beautiful too. And so as we talk about that idea of value, seeing something as truly valuable and precious to us, it starts with understanding what God has made and created as precious.
I think that's the fascinating thing about 1 Peter to me, is the use of the term precious. And to your point, it uses a thing that we normally would view to be precious as some sort of like gold or silver, or those types of things that we would normally talk about, or money. And it actually talks about things that God views to be precious, and to your point, whether or not we're going to view them to be precious. The first one is mentioned here is 1 Peter, the first chapter in verse 7. So here in context, he's talking to people that are going to be persecuted. They're going to go through various difficulties, but he tells them you have a living hope from because of Jesus Christ, this inheritance that you have. And in verse 6, he says, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And even though you do not see him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with a joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls." And Tyler, to your point here, he calls our faith is precious. And he compares it to this gold. Gold is going to be perishable. It may be valuable to us, and for various reasons. But the reality is our faith is more precious than anything that we have. And that's so important for us to understand, especially when you're going through trials. 1 John, the 5th chapter, verse 4, our faith is the victory. It's what gives us victory because of what God has been willing to do for us. And to the point you made of, you know, Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the list of people that are named and the faith that they had, including Moses, Moses's parents, Abraham, and the list goes on that we see of people there. And then it goes on in chapter 12, and it talks about Jesus and the fact that he was willing to face death, a whole host of difficulties that he goes through and struggles. it's important for us to see that it tells us that it was for the joy set before him. He understood the bigger picture, which was to give us the opportunity for salvation. And then we have a cloud of witnesses that's there for us to take advantage of as well, to learn from their examples and make sure that we're doing the same thing. But I think, Tyler, the struggle so often is that we focus so much on the perishable things rather than understanding the value of our faith and what the eternal repercussions are of that faith that we have, and understanding the opportunity that we have to be with him for eternity in a place where the streets are made of gold, you know, and at least is the illustration that is used. And just to, again, show you how valuable this place is going to be and how much value we need to make sure we're putting on our faith.
Yeah, the scriptures, to your point, will use these things that we are very quick to associate as precious and valuable, whether it's the streets of gold, pearly gates. I think it's the prophet Isaiah in part of his prophecies that will talk about the foundations of God's dwelling, that the idea that there's all these precious gems that, you know, are composing that. It's not that they're literally those gems there in a physical place, but it's just to denote that the foundation of the things of God are truly valuable, far beyond anything that we could hope to earn or gain. And I think that's the problem that you said, Scott, is we get so caught up in the transient, the temporary, the things that very quickly pass away, and lose the sight of the eternal value of something like our faith that truly brings about the victory that leads to the salvation of our souls for eternity. And the fact is that our faith is precious because it's been made real and realized by a precious purchasing agent, and that would be the blood of Jesus. You started in 1 Peter 1. If you go on in that chapter, Peter will again use the word precious when he's describing the blood of Christ. And so in 1 Peter chapter 1, we see here in verse 18 beginning, knowing that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold. There's that comparison to the wealth aspect again. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Again, why is our faith valuable? Why is our hope so precious to us? Because it's the precious blood of Christ that we were ransomed by. We were bought back by the blood of Jesus. You go into just how much our faith centers on the fact that he shed his blood. You go to things like the Lord's Supper and the fact that Jesus says, this is my blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. It's the blood of the new covenant, that this new relationship can now be made because of what this blood is doing. And it's just powerful, Scott, to imagine that, to think about that, and to appreciate what Jesus has done there for us. Ephesians chapter 1 is another place that just unpacks a lot of what we have because of our faith in Jesus and the fact that his blood is precious. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. I think we read these things and it's like, yeah, of course, this is the gospel, this is Jesus, and we are so quick to just take it for granted that these things, forgiveness of our trespasses, the riches of his grace, they all come through the shedding of Jesus' blood, and we cannot take that lightly. It is so powerful to realize just how much Jesus has done for us. And if we don't see that as precious, well, the problem is we don't see it as a valuable thing, or we just take it for granted, as I mentioned, and we just go on and live life and find other things more valuable, whether it's a person or a pastime, and we lose sight of just how immensely beautiful the truth of God giving his son and the shedding of that blood really is to us. And when we see that, we're like Moses' parents. That beauty, the preciousness of that, stirs us into action, and it causes us to live a different way because it's based on this value in the blood.
I think that's the hardest part in this life, is that there are things that a Christian should view to be valuable. That's almost an opposite of what the world would view to be valuable. You have faith. Well, that's sort of a joke to a lot of people. You talk about his blood. That's not, you know, it was just a man that died. It was nothing, doesn't do anything for you. And then you come to the preciousness of life. And this can be taken in various different ways. And I think it needs to be discussed in various different ways. Going back to 1 Peter, the third chapter this time, God is talking through Peter, talking about how a wife needs to act if her husband is unbelieving. And it'll go through this submissive part, and talk about in verse 3, your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry and putting on dresses, but let it be hidden. Let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. And, you know, Tyler, there's going to be people that read this passage and try to figure out a different way for it to be said, or what needs to be done in a different aspect of this is not what it means today. Well, the reality is it does. What it comes down to is precious to God. If it's precious to God, it needs to be precious to us as well. And that's included with any life. You know, we live in a time, obviously, where the unborn to the old is a question of whether or not their lives are precious to us. And we certainly are taught in the scriptures that they need to be precious to us, and we need to make sure we're putting value on their lives as we do our own lives. God tells us through Paul in Romans the 8th chapter, verses 32 through 39, that he loves you. He loves you no matter what you face, no matter what you go through in this life, no matter the persecutions, no matter the things that you've done in your life. Just to know that he loves us so much that he was willing to send his son to die for us because of that precious blood that had to be offered to give us the opportunity to be with him for eternity is a powerful lesson for us to understand how much value we bring to our God. And hopefully that causes us to appreciate really who we are and appreciate that we are created for a purpose, that we are here for a reason, and to understand that when we pass from this life, that God absolutely cares for that as well. And in Psalm 116, this is quoted in the New Testament as well, but in Psalm 116, verse 15, it says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones." That's what this is all about. We're talking about our faith in order to be with him for eternity. We're talking about his blood that's given us the opportunity to be with him for eternity. And it's about being a precious child of God, living the life while we're here so we can be with him for eternity. It's an amazing story that our life needs to be telling as we go through this life, understanding the value of the eternal life. That doesn't mean, it actually means that the world's not going to like you in many of the decisions or things that you take a stand against. But the reality is this is about you and God. This is about us serving him, loving everyone, doing what we need to do, being at peace with all men as far as is up to us, we're able to. But we need to make sure that the first priority that we've talked about on this podcast before is our relationship with God.
Yeah. And so as we close this episode, I just want to give it back to you, listener, to think about, what do you find most precious in your life? What is beautiful to you? And I encourage you to use these verses we've discussed today as a starting point to dig into your Bibles, to see the world around you through God's eyes, to see yourself through God's eyes, to see the beauty of your God-made soul, that you bear his image, the beauty of other people around you, and the things that you would choose, the actions, the words, the thoughts, would all stem from this place of understanding that there is a precious value behind what God has made and what God has done and what he's doing, and that piece of understanding that you are from God. Thanks for listening. Show your support by leaving a review on your podcast app and share this episode with someone you want to encourage. If you have questions or would like to get in touch with us, go to youarefromgod.com. That's youarefromgod.com.